You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. And before we get started with my guest, I have a few announcements and sponsors to make. National Credit Card Relief. I'm going to try this my best. If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this is the message for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debts, medical bills, and department store debts forgiven? National Credit Card Relief will give you free information on proving debt forgiveness program. This program will be used by thousands of legally forgiven millions in unsecured debts. It's not bankruptcy. It's not a consultation or I have no idea what that word is, but sorry to mess that one up. This special program will actually wipe clean your portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe and your creditors. Call for free information and get your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program will be your solution. Call for free. The information will find out more at 1-800-218-7170. There is no cost or obligation, so don't wait. Again, you can call at 1-800-218-7170. That's 1-800-218-7170. Get your debt problem solved. Call today at 1-800-218-7170. All right. Since we got through that, I just have to put out my website before we get started too, and sorry for all this, but you can find all my old podcasts and new stuff going on at trainerpodcast.com, and if you like what I'm doing, you can check out my Amazon link and support the show. So my guests today are both professional photographers, and I do like talking to people that take awesome pictures, and these both do. They're also professional cat lovers, so I just wanted to put that out there. Sure. But let's hear it for Kelly Karneski and Chris Thomas.
Hello.
Welcome, guys. What's up?
What's up?
Not too much.
So we have a podcast veteran and a podcast newbie.
Yeah, this is my first time. So.
We'll keep it all, you know, comfortable, and we're just going to talk about what you guys do. So, cool. I wanted to kind of start with just how you both got into photography. So, Kelly, how was like your start?
My first start was in Boy Scouts.
Really?
Because I was the historian, and I had to take pictures for my troop.
So they like made you take pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I sucked at it. They're really atrocious.
Oh, God.
Really
I wish I could see that. Pictures. I can't imagine you sucking at photos.
Did you like enjoy it? Were you just like, why do I have to do this? Like,
it got me used to it. And then one of my good friends, Megan Boltz, was going to school for photography. And I kind of went along with her to assignments. And then she kind of, you know. I kind of slowly grew into it from there.
Okay, cool. I didn't know you're that far back on doing this, so that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. How about you, Chris? What was your first start?
I mean, so I've been, I don't know, I was skateboarding since the eighth grade or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of the filmer / photographer of the group at that point in time, so I kind of...
He wasn't good either.
Yeah, no, I was terrible at it.
There's you like, got to start somewhere.
You know, maybe one picture or two that were like, okay. But like, I met Kelly 10 years ago and I saw his photos. I'm like, man, maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
But, I wasn't good back then either.
And then I started rock climbing and I was in the Red River Gorge taking photos of my friends climbing. And I was like, maybe I should buy a camera.
Yeah.
And so I saw a friend of mine, John Mark. He ended up climbing this like ridiculously hard route. Never seen anyone climb something so hard. And I was like, all right, buying a photo camera.
So were you taking like with your phone, like just like kind of digital camera? Okay, all right. That's interesting. I had a friend of mine that was a photographer on the show like probably a couple months ago, and I like talking about, since I don't know the tech of cameras and all that, like what do you guys feel with like cell phones now since they have, you know, obviously if you can afford, you know, the best top of the line cell phone, you can get a pretty good camera on it, right?
Agreed.
Now, what do you think of it as like using that compared to like, top of the line cameras?
Honestly, technology is always going to make pictures a little bit better, but it's the, like, what are you capturing that matters more than just taking the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it doesn't really matter what kind of camera you have, as long as you have like an eye for it in a sense. I mean, obviously there's more that's going to go into it, but
if you're trying to make money, you need the Tapalong gear. But if you're trying to like capture memories or make art, it doesn't matter as much.
I have to say, since last time I saw you guys in action, well, that's the only time I've seen you guys in action, but at our friend Derek's wedding, it would be weird to see you guys running around and you just going like this. They'd be like, I think someone's lost or something.
I mean, we've talked about doing something like that as
but that's
a troll.
Kind of like
we might offer a package for weddings. If you want to hire Chris and I to shoot your wedding with our cell phones, we will.
There's actually, I think it's a Godex or Flashpoint. They make a little thing for your phone to trigger flashes off your phone. So, you know, that's a possibility.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Well, and with like filters now and like editing and all that stuff, it's just interesting to see somebody that isn't a photographer that can take good pictures. Like, how do you guys feel about that? Like,
I think it's the start of the end of our industry. Eventually they'll have like an algorithm that can take the best photo for you and just have a drone following you around, highlighting your day or something. But for now, I mean, I'd rather people get their memories that they want than miss them because, you know, a photographer's not there.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. No, completely. Yeah.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about, too, since obviously you both have been doing it at different times, and I know you guys help each other out and stuff. How do you define, like, your photography, Kelly?
I'm a rare breed, I think. I shoot a lot, so I don't have any limitations on what I will shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just consider it like if you hire me, you're just renting my eyes for the day. I like to put a lot of meaning into the stuff I do, or at least try.
So is it kind of like the situation? Like if it's like, you know, someone just hires you and like, you know, I just want to take some cool pictures for my website or something like that, or, you know, a wedding, I'm sure it's probably different, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's photojournalistic, like kind of just stalking people and
which Kelly is like amazing at the photojournalistic style.
I'm a really good stalker. So
like, honestly,
it's like getting people at weird moments or just like, those are the best though. That's like when you would think, I mean, all the times I've done something cool, I guess I'm like, I wish there was someone over there that just took my picture of that. You know, you're never going to get that. So
that is the ideal, is just not knowing that I'm there and just snapping away. But
how would you define yours, Chris?
Oh God. I feel like Kelly's like the artistic one of the crew. And I'm just kind of like,
come on, you're both are very artistic.
I mean, yeah, but
I self-deprecate a lot.
I'm more of, I guess,
that's a true artist right there. So,
a technical photographer. I don't know. I just kind of see stuff and I try to repeat what other people have done, but in my own way, I guess. I'm like trying to become more of a creative photographer. It's always been difficult for me to come up with the concepts and ideas to execute.
That's a process, and you know, as obviously you keep doing it and all that, and as long as you enjoy it, you know, you're gonna build on your skills. So
you also go to a lot of cool locations and let people travel with you, which I think is pretty cool.
Where have you guys been that's been pretty cool?
Chris has taken more than me.
I mean, Kelly and I went up to Mackinac this last
that's a
July
place.
To do a surprise engagement shoot, and we brought our friend Becky, who's like beautiful suicide girl, and then my friend Amy ended up meeting us up there too, so we were like shooting photos of both of them.
That's cool.
I actually think I took one of the best photos I've ever created up there with Becky, and it was like raining out. It was like this crappy day. Like, only had a few minutes to shoot because we were gonna be late for this surprise engagement shoot, but I don't know, it was great.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Beautiful photos.
It gives you a lot of reason to go out and like explore things too. You
know, yeah.
You can just go and explore things, but to look for something beautiful it's a cool challenge.
That's a very tough challenge, I would say. And that's kind of why I admire photographers, because, you know, with a lot of different things, like you can, you know, you can get a piece of paper if you're, you know, if you draw and all that, you know pretty much what you're going to draw, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like with photography, like, it could be raining, it could be nice out, you know, the things could align for you or they cannot, but that could obviously be like a beautiful mistake. So do you guys struggle with that, or like, is that kind of like the fun challenge, like you were saying?
My entire portfolio is a beautiful
mistake. I feel like your life is just a beautiful mistake.
Yeah, that's the way to describe
it's a good metal album.
Yeah. I was in Moab, Utah, shooting some photos with my girlfriend, and I had like picked out this location like a month prior because like I knew it was going to be really pretty. Mm-hmm. And a storm rolled in, and like right when the storm rolled in, it started like belting rain on her, and she's standing behind this cliff that's like, I don't know, like 70 or 80 foot drop off. And then Jeez. Behind that is like a 600 foot drop off. And as soon as I started like snapping the photos, all of a sudden the clouds like opened up and the sun like hit the background. It was like this perfect. Like it looked pretty good without that. But as soon as that happened, I was like, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you guys more or less, because obviously there's a lot of different types of photography and all that, and do you try to capture just like anything your eyes see, like, or do you like having people in them? Like, I think from what I've seen, you guys kind of like doing both.
Yeah, I like there is something to be said about just capturing the moment or capturing what's there, but then there's also like the setup of mm-hmm. where you can like design the light and design what emotions the model's portraying. Or you know, even, you know, Chris and I have built scenes before where we're trying to make people think, you know, about different outcomes, stuff like that.
I'm a big proponent of like just controlling the light and the environment, you know, just kind of like making your own thing mm-hmm. and separating yourself from others.
You guys work with a lot of models. How does that, like, I always think that's so interesting because, you know, it's like taking pictures of people, obviously, when they don't really know, that's one thing. But if you're like, all right, go stand here and, you know, be sexy or be weird or be, I don't know. Like, how do you guys handle that?
I mean, I love it. There's a lot of psychology behind it, I would say. Like, there's, you know, you're meeting someone sometimes for the first time and you're taking very exposed pictures, even if it's just like mentally, you know, like a lot of people don't like their picture being taken. A lot of people aren't comfortable, and you're working with them to kind of open up their soul to this, you know, lens, basically. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sorry. Have you ever had any like weird moments or just like
it can be nerve wracking meeting someone for the first time that you like have to take photos of and you're not really sure how they're going to perform and like you're not really sure what you're going to do yet.
Yeah, because they got to meet you like halfway, you know, like you obviously are bringing your eyes and like the gear and your skills. But if they're just like, you know, depending on what they're modeling for, it's like they got to obviously do stuff as well. So I just think it's interesting because. Have you ever been in a situation where you've just been taking photos for a long time and just not getting that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I usually shoot till I feel like I have the picture at least.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes I'll spend 4 or 5 hours, you know, even if that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I had this light painting idea where, like, you create these cool, like, orbs around the model. And I invited my friend Annie out, and I think it was, like, the first time I had met her at that time. And, like, I completely failed. Kelly was with me on this, mm-hmm. and, like, every picture I take, I'm like, oh, this looks like garbage. It was, like, a huge blow to my ego because, like, the previous time I tried it, it was, like, worked out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Sometimes you just kind of
Yeah, you never know. Anything. You have an idea. You want to try it out. And it always looks good in your head, right? But then you're like – yeah, that's not what I thought it would be.
Yep. That's the thing that sucks about photography is I can come up with a picture in my head and then I try and execute it and it's nowhere near.
Yeah.
But you try.
Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do. I think it's the illusion of photography. Like when I look at your guys' stuff like on Instagram and whatnot, I'm always like, yeah, this, you know, went out and just got it. They just got it. But that's why I wanted to talk to you about it because I know it's more than that. You know, that one photo probably took, you know, a couple hours and all that, you know, out of the thousands of ones you didn't post up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, kind of what divides people from doing it and not doing it, you know, because I know I couldn't handle that. So I'd be like, 1, 2, all right, I'm done. You know? But where do you guys get your like inspiration from?
I would say I draw a lot from life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try and emit like a lifestyle that I want to propose or, kind of push for, you know, change in our society. So I'll try and show someone that's having a lot of fun doing the things that I think we should be doing more of,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So I don't really have a direct inspiration to be honest. It's just a lot of small things.
Well, that's a good answer. I mean, that doesn't have to be anything, you know?
I feel like Kelly has just been like all over the place in terms of his inspirations,
yeah,
like everywhere and anything from like gory models cut up to I don't know, throwing dirt on someone, burying them with weird masks.
Yeah.
And I've also worked for a lot of corporations, too.
Yeah, like Kelly shot senators and stuff like that.
That's
a Michigan senator.
Michigan senator.
Especially for all, like, yeah, like the horror stuff you do and all that, when you just have to take a, you know, a picture of somebody in a suit. It's like, what the fuck, you know?
Like, I did a gore shoot, and then the next day I met, like, four mayors for a campaign trail thing, and I thought that was a very weird.
Weird.
Like, they didn't do their homework on me. They just hired me, like, here you go.
Very strange dynamic. But that's the thing, though. Like, you're such a versatile photographer that it doesn't even matter regardless.
That's a very good skill, yeah.
Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what separates a lot of people, just being versatile, being able to adapt.
Like, they just want to do one thing, and if they can't do that, they won't make it. Is that kind of like what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you can be a good landscape photographer and everything like that, and that's like, that's your niche, but I feel like the good photographers are like the ones that encompass everything.
Yeah. You know?
I just like all of photography. I don't, you know, there's not a single type of picture I don't like taking.
Yeah.
I can find joy in something. But, you know, as to what you're saying earlier too about photography kind of getting slowly replaced, or like everyone given a great camera.
Yeah.
If you're only doing newborn baby pictures, well, there's a million newborn baby photographers right now.
Yeah.
So
it's like the Detroit urbex scene where like everyone's limiting. Just shooting abandoned buildings. And it's like, come on, man, there's more to the world
seen
than just
a lot of that.
Buildings.
Yeah.
We're guilty of doing that though ourselves.
But yeah,
we
but
just
it's
liked
been a while mm-hmm. since we've done something like that.
True. I almost got caught a few times.
I got caught in the Fisher body plant.
What?
Pulled out by six police officers. That place, like, I've seen people bring, like, their significant other and, like, their seven-year-old child in that place, and then we get caught because of the
fact.
Yeah, because
you're trying to take, you know,
it
pictures.
Just, like, it was just, like, wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. I think that's interesting, too. I don't know if you guys do much. Well, it seems like you have, but, like, have you guys ran into like problems, like how do you handle that when you're in a place that you're not supposed to be, but you're like, I want to take this picture, you know? I mean, because that could be outside as well, you know?
I'm actually very lucky. I've broken into a lot of places and I've not had any major problems. There's a lot of to be said with safety in numbers. I mean, other than, you know, I once had a cop drive by me and I hid behind a tiny twig and he just didn't see me.
That's awesome.
You know, honestly, just because Detroit police don't really care, that's just
yeah,
not
that
big
of a deal.
Doing
anything, really, you know what I mean?
Unless, like, you're walking out of the building as soon as they pull up, then mm-hmm. it's just kind of...
If you make it easy on them.
Yeah. But, I mean, my friend Steve, who I work with, he's a huge urbex photographer, but he documents the buildings more so and just kind of uses it for himself, which is why I love what he does. But, I mean, he's told me stories about people, like, years ago having their car shot up specifically to bring them out to rob them of their camera gear.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive stuff, you know, and if someone just wants to sell that, it's, you know, a good target.
Yeah.
That's scary. So with do you guys do a lot of risk in taking shots? Like, I mean, I know you do a lot of like your rock climbing and all that. Like, is there any risk you think you ever put yourself in to get those shots?
I mean, there's always a risk climbing
because
of the fact that, like, you know, there could be bolt failure. Because a lot of the places I climb are very well-managed places, so they'll take care of that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I've done some dumb stuff, so maybe.
I always think of those, like, I guess they're, like, parkour type, but those people that are, you know, jumping off buildings and, like, hanging off, like, skyscrapers just to get, like, a selfie and all that.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like
that.
There
was a viral video of a photographer that was doing, like, flips and, like, somersaults and stuff, and Chris tried to copy it and pull the muscles. So,
yeah. You know. That can happen, you know? That can happen.
Hey, man, my hamstrings haven't been stretched in a while.
How do you – and I think this is, like, another thing, too, with, you know, you guys are behind the camera taking what you want from if it's, like, models to scenery and all that. How do you guys feel about, like, putting yourself into the pictures? Do you do a lot of that?
I mean, I do it more than Kelly does, but Kelly just likes to use me a lot.
I actually feed
off each other. I mean, that's cool.
I love shooting both men and female. However, throughout my career, I haven't met too many great men to shoot.
Uh-huh.
And Chris is one of them, so I use him as much as I can.
There you go.
I feel like he's
very outgoing, which is good.
Yeah.
Get those action shots, you know.
I'm a huge fan of taking pictures that other models have done, but instead of using a woman, using myself.
Ah, that's a cool twist. Yeah. Interesting.
We like to expose our own sexism as much as possible as well.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's crazy. But do you think it's when you put it into some, like, I guess obviously you have a lot of trust in Kelly, but is it frustrating when you have someone else, maybe not Kelly, that's like trying to take a picture of you doing something that you do and you're just like, that's not what I want. You know what I mean? Like, do you ever get that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when I was skateboarding, knowing all the angles and stuff
like
that.
You know, it's like, here, you know.
I took a good picture of you skateboarding once.
It's true, Kelly. It's actually framed on my, above my, not refrigerator. Actually, it's on my refrigerator, though.
That's
my mom's
cool.
Got it.
Nice. I also have that framed above my bedroom.
You guys' dynamic is hilarious. Just shows that you guys have a good, you know, partnership in this photography business.
Kelly actually has a tattoo of me on him.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah.
You know that?
I had no idea.
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
This is so bad for... That's Chris. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we call it... I tell everyone that it's Jesus.
Yeah. If you would have said that, I'd been like, all right.
I really wanted a barbed wire tattoo. That's, like, been a dream of mine since, like, the 90s.
The chick, Pamela Anderson?
No, no.
Yeah, just
barbed wire wrapped around my arm.
Okay.
And Chris did a self-portrait with barbed wire wrapped around his neck. And I was like, you know what? That's a perfect two for one.
That's badass.
So that's why it's there.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we could somehow had that, you know, go out into the podcast world so people could see it and not hear it.
There's actually a video on Facebook of him revealing it to me.
Okay. Oh, you had no idea?
I had no idea.
That's hilarious.
It was very on the fly. It was my my roommate's really good tattoo artist, and it was one of her first
Tessa
portraits.
Tessa
Cano.
Yeah. She's nice. Really good.
What other, like, styles, like, art do you guys that, like, interests you? Is it just, like, photography, or, like, obviously you like tattoos and stuff like that?
I'm really big into movies. It's not that big of a jump, but hey. That's where I want to go into the future, is more video work, which I have a lot of anxiety about, but love movies. And then also we're talking about going into more 3D design work, which is pretty interesting to us.
That's interesting. So, like, are you talking about, like, like creating movies, like just like shorts, documentaries, kind of stuff?
Definitely. Just anything. I mean, it's, once again, I'm not going to say that I have any specific type that I want to go do, but just kind of just jump into all of it. We've made a couple of comedy shorts that are pretty dumb, but also it's fun to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Art projects are a really cool therapy, I think, sometimes, where you can just get 20 friends together to make a video and not have it be about anything other than...
Yeah, some people get too, you know, intense with it, and it's like, that's not how you make good art. You got to be, you know, relaxed and just let
page.
It come out, you know? So, what? How about you, Chris?
I mean, I like all sorts of media, to be honest, but I'm a huge fan, I guess, because of the fact that I'm a huge black metal fan, too. I like the artwork that encompasses that.
Yeah.
And I really like, you know, like a dark art style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you can put that. I mean, you have that in a lot of your pictures, too. Like, your photography is very, you know, dark and, you know, mysterious kind of stuff. So. I think I can see that from just what you like, you know, music and artwork and stuff like that.
Chris worships Satan. And actually, that's why his Instagram is Camera Satan.
Yeah,
that is a good handle.
I'm like the biggest edgelord ever with that, for sure.
We should just do a podcast about Satan. You know, they got all these church ones out there, you know, about God. We should just do one about that. we'd get a lot of listeners.
No, sure. Wait, I mean, I might have found him. Jesus.
Well, yeah, Jesus on your arm. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, people have been really nice when they think, I feel like they'll see that, like, oh my God, you good Christian.
Yeah.
Actually, it's very blasphemous. I'm sorry.
I had a credit card that was from a Catholic credit union. It was like my first bank I had. And every time I've had so many times when I used it, like older people would just come up to me and like pat me on the shoulder and be so happy. And I'm like, I'm buying booze with this. Like, I'm not doing anything, like, good for using this credit card. Just because it says that, it's just hilarious. So with you talking about the video stuff, how do you think about both of those, from, like, you know, just taking pictures to video? Like, is that, like, a totally different skill?
I feel like pictures are actually just one frame of a video, just – the best part of that shot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, a video will like explain more as you like pan over or let it go on for a duration. But ideally a picture is just that one, you know, you, the picture says a thousand words.
Yeah. Kind of
mentality. It just, you want to tell the story. Pretty much.
Yeah. Do you ever mess around with like video stuff or?
So when I was in high school, I was a huge video productions kid.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think outside of high school, I got certified in Final Cut Pro, and I didn't really use it for anything other than with skateboarding, with like a crappy skateboarding movie or anything like that. And I don't know, the movie industry wasn't the greatest around here, and I decided that I would rather be a paramedic than in the movie industry, which I really regret right now.
Yeah, too bad you saved so many lives.
Yeah, you asshole.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, I feel like a huge dick for saying that, but you know.
I guess if you're doing one or the other, you got to kind of respect that. If you do a lot of videoing, you got to kind of respect, you know, people that take pictures and all that. So, I mean, it seems like they both go hand in hand. So
we're lucky to know very good video artists, which also is kind of demoralizing because they just put out the best work possible.
I feel like Kelly knows more great video artists than I do. I don't really know. I mean, yeah, I know. They're your friends, though. I don't go out of my way to talk to
them.
I'm like, hey, man, what's up?
They like me, so.
I don't think so at all.
Well, I'm going to call him after this.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, a good segue into this because, like, what is, like, the community like? You know, do you like talking to other photographers besides Chris?
I'm actually Kelly's only real friend.
Chris and other photographers? What?
Chris and I are actually going to a photographer party tonight.
Yep. No way. Yep. Really?
It's a model photographer mixer hosted by Aaron Reed and Victor Kuz.
Who's got really tiny hands. Don't mention it to him, though.
Victor does. But Aaron's pretty cool. He runs the Dirty Show, so it should be an interesting night for sure.
Do you have to put your camera in like a bowl before you go?
That's kind of the no. But I would say that like there's a lot of great photographers out there, and then there's a lot of like creepy
wannabes.
Predator photographers. Not just wannabes. Like the wannabes are fine.
Okay.
But it's like, what are you using your artwork for? Are you trying to make art, or are you trying to get personal gain through, you know, women, or just, you know, there's a lot of people that are not in it for the right reasons. So it's been kind of a hard way to filter who's good and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, you obviously take very risque photos of women and stuff like that, and that's good that you have that professional quality to it, because most people that see that are probably like, you know, how could he, you know, take a picture with that girl, you know, in her shirt's off and stuff like that, and it's like, you don't get it. It's not like he made her do that, you know?
And I mean, a lot of times I'm actually – asking what do they want their picture?
Yeah.
Like, how do you
their
want
models.
Your picture
portrayed?
Like, what are you trying to portray? I mean, I shoot a lot of nudists too, which, you know, a lot of those people are kind of shunned by society by, you know, not being able to
why.
Be who they are. So I give them an outlet, and I, you know, but there is a lot of, there's just a lot of creepy photography men. There's some women too, but mostly men that just take advantage of it. And I mean, that's why there's only a few good ones versus, you know, I wish we could cure that. Just take away their cameras.
That's, yeah, that's for sure.
We've been shunning a lot of people lately, though, which is really nice. Like, if you can get blacklisted, pretty easily. If
that's good.
Yeah, there's a couple Facebook groups that I'm a part of that like just call out, really terrible people for like, trying to like just over sexualize women and such.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You got, you know, people like you and, you know, communities like that on like social media that can be like, yeah, don't put, you know, don't hire this guy. Don't call this person. Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of people just trying to take advantage of like brand new models. They're like, oh, I want to get into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they just see that opening and just go for it, which is really,
that's terrible.
I don't know. You're like in a very vulnerable place, especially if you're a new model. So
yeah.
I don't understand why you want to take advantage of someone like that.
You definitely have a position. It's kind of like being someone's boss almost. Like you have a position of power over them, which, you know, makes the relationship very like inappropriate if you're not, you know, if you're just using it. I don't know. People can get pretty gross.
Do you feel like doing, like, obviously, with your work and stuff like that, does that cross over into like how you communicate with people and all that? Like, it seems like you'd be pretty comfortable talking with anybody then.
I have high anxiety. I actually got "Don't Panic" tattooed on my hand, so people just know that you can't overwhelm me. But I can be great at talking to people, and then I can also just get overwhelmed too, mm-hmm. to be honest. Photography caused a lot of my anxiety. I used to have not that many people text me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's...
my phone dies halfway through the day.
Dang.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever really seen Kelly in a situation where he just kind of shuts down.
That's not true.
And if I do, I don't really realize it. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kelly's very versatile regardless of the fact that he's shutting down.
I can hold off a panic attack for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, I can just, you know, face it. It's when you hire me, sometimes it's like the wedding singer, you know?
Yeah.
But I hold it in. It's good.
Talking more about the photography community and stuff, do you feel like there's a lot of support with each other and all that, you know?
Really depends, honestly. Yeah. There's some people that'll just like tear you apart, and then there's other people that'll just try and build you up.
Networking on Facebook, I would say that there's a lot of support, but it's also weird because you're all competitors. So
yeah, like, there
you
is
can
that
support each other, but then you're also sharing, you know, and you're competing against people's attention too. So
true.
You share another photographer, and then people pay attention to them, and you just get left in the wayside. With that said, I think that there's a lot of good like we've been helping everyone become better, I think.
That's good. So overall, it's been more positive than negative.
Yeah. Like I said, even just shutting up, because there used to be creepy photographers and you would never even know they existed. Now mm-hmm. you can just post a status about one and then most people yeah. know about it.
Yeah, there's one in particular that I used to post statuses about all the time, and he would end up just deleting his Facebook, deleting his Instagram.
Yeah, that's when you know it's like
– I actually exposed him again.
Yeah, he's back, and I don't know. Like, that's the crappy part is that, you know, there's people that just –
there's always shitty people, you know. No matter what you're doing, if it's sports, photography, business, you know, there's always the good and the bad, you know.
That's true.
And I feel like you kind of want to be – you know, in the middle, obviously not being like bad, but you know, you got to be aggressive and you know, you got to kind of put yourself out there. So
in photography, a lot of people fake it till they make it. And I think that's one of the, like the more dangerous mindsets because they're not, you know, they're lying about what they can do and then putting themselves in a situation they're not even prepared for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that happens with a lot of wedding photographers that are just starting out. They're like, oh, let me photograph your wedding. And then like,
I have no idea.
Yeah.
They just don't realize what really needs to come about it. I mean, like if I wasn't for Kelly, I would not be in this place where I'm at right now. Cause Kelly's been like a great mentor to me in these like kind of curved where I should be at and helped me get there.
That's good.
He's basically been my rock because like anytime I fail, Kelly always succeeds. It's been amazing for that.
Honestly, though, we work in an industry like, I mean, our main job that we get hired for is weddings.
Yeah.
And I mean, someone's hiring us for like their happiest day of their life.
It's a big deal.
There's a lot of stress involved, but like once you can get comfortable on knowing what you have to do, then it's just, you know, one thing after another. And you're hanging out with someone that's literally the happiest they'll probably be for mm-hmm. a long time.
So and they want to capture like every second of that, and that's your job. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, responsibility.
There's a lot of pressure, but it's also, I mean, even at the wedding we were just at, you know, it's a lot of times you can become friends with a bridal party pretty quick because they know that you're making them look good or bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just is a fun excursion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, watching you guys, it's – you know, a lot of people that don't understand photography would be like, oh, no, you're just taking pictures. You know, you got, especially if you've been to a wedding, it's like, all right, you know, they'll be here. But, you know, you guys were like, you know, just like action. It was just like running in the middle. Like, but, you know, obviously very like politely, you know what I mean? And it was just really cool to see. So I was going to say, good job. You know, it's awesome.
Thank you.
I know Derek and Rebecca will be very happy. So
I think they will be. Hopefully.
Have you ever had any bad scenarios?
My first wedding was the worst wedding I've ever shot. I mean, I loved the bride and everything was great, but they had a very expensive wedding and they fired the wedding planner halfway through the wedding.
Oh, yikes.
That's got to be stressful.
Like the biggest disaster I've ever seen. I haven't seen one since.
Yeah, I haven't any bad weddings, knock on wood.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I really hope that continues.
Keep it that way.
The more money you put into a wedding, the worse it goes. Sometimes.
Really?
Well, because if something goes wrong and you didn't put much money into it, it's not a big deal. But if you paid $15,000 for chocolate roses,
good
and
point.
They melt, you'll cry about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. People will think it looks good on paper, and then they're like, oh, yeah, it's in June. And yep. Yeah, that's too
degrees.
Funny. What have you not done that's something you maybe dreamed about or like always wanted to do? Like photography wise, I guess.
Well, I guess I'm going to combine that because I do, I, this is my year of getting into like the 3D modeling and stuff, like I was saying, and I want to create 3D or, you know, kind of a VR experience kind of through my photography and video. So like if I, you know, you have a VR set, you put it, you go to my thing and go through an experience I create for you.
So what, explain the 3D, like you're like building models and stuff like that? Like
kind of even just, you know, you can have an art gallery online in a 3D space.
Yeah.
But you could also, I mean, you could build something that's, you know, completely visually stunning that, you know, no one's ever built before just digitally. And I mean, immersive art isn't, you know, it's very much just starting right now. So that's something I really want to get into.
I've never heard of that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look at the VR games that are coming out right now. It's basically immersive art. So.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of leap forwards, in my opinion. They'll eventually even, I mean, you can see all the big companies investing into really big, you know, holdings to have the capacity just to support that. Like Facebook, I think, was going into augmented reality. So, you know, we can one day get rid of all of our property possessions and just have digital books in our hand and read them, or, you know, things like that.
That's crazy. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, or kind of both?
I mean, humanity's always been a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Whatever is convenient. Honestly, I prefer real books over
anything
digital. It's just nicer to read, easier on the eyes.
Like hold it, you know.
You know, at the other end, that book is a dead tree that you killed,
I mean,
Chris.
I didn't kill it specifically.
Getting to the point here.
I purchased it
from
people.
Tree killer, Saint lover.
Paying for people to kill that tree for me. But yeah.
That's fair.
either way, I mean, I don't know.
No, that's all right.
I'm sorry, I do this sometimes.
No, that's funny. That's funny.
What about you, Chris? What have you not gotten into?
Honestly, I want to start trying to figure out how to like do adventure wedding photography type stuff. Like
adventure wedding photography.
So I've spent a lot of time in Moab, Utah because of my roommate / climbing partner / landlord.
Okay.
She's a traveling nurse and she lives out there and she's got a family friend out there. But like she knows and has shown me a bunch of like beautiful spots, and I would just love to be able to like have someone pay for my travel out there to photograph them in said spots to give them some of the best pictures they're ever going to have for their, you know, wedding day or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever take your camera with you while you're climbing, or is that a bad idea?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I didn't have it on me, but my partner was climbing with it. If I would have had it on me, it probably would have broken, but I ended up taking like a 15-foot fall with my foot getting caught in the rope, and I slammed my head up against the wall. And that day, I specifically decided to wear a helmet. And the rest of the days on that trip, I was not wearing a helmet prior to.
My gosh, that's scary.
Yep. If I would have actually had the camera on me, I probably would have destroyed the camera too.
Yeah. It's part of the risk, right? You know, it's not easy. And it's kind of like off topic of it, but like, how'd you get into all this rock climbing stuff? It seems so connected to your photography, I have to ask.
One of my very close friends, Adrian, he just kind of put it in my head, I think in like May of 2012, like, oh, you should take your girlfriend rock climbing. It's great, great time. Like, all right, maybe I'll do that. And then eventually, I think October of 2012, I ended up going with my then girlfriend, and like we loved it, and we started going once a week, and then it started getting like
the indoor ones.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Over to Planet Rock, and then I found out that a bunch of my old lifeguard friends were climbers, and they were like avid climbers. I think when I got into it, two of my friends just climbed El Cap at that time. And cool. At that time I was like, that's too big. I'm just going to stick. I'm going to stick at 50 feet. And now I'm like, El Cap next year. That's what I want to do. 3,000 feet.
The bigger, the better.
Yeah. It's been a weird evolution. Mm-hmm. Like rock climbing has basically influenced everything that I've done in the last 5 years.
You can tell. And that's cool.
It's made him very fit, I've noticed.
And that's a good thing too, you know?
It's made you very egotistical.
That's funny. Do you guys have trouble like turning off like your kind of like creative minds and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
100%.
100%. I think that's the kind of curse
of
it. I'm
pretty mentally ill, so I feel like it comes with creativity, but I mean, I stay up till like 3 or 4 a.m. most nights.
Like if you go out, like let's just say like, you know, your friends are having people over and like a party, like a bonfire, let's just say that. It's like, do you ever feel like if you left your camera at home or something, or like, do you try to be like, I don't need to do it, just leave it?
I used to be a concert photographer, more or less, and every time I go to a show, I don't bring my camera because there's a bunch of rules, but yeah. I always want my camera.
Yeah, it's always in the back of your head.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, there's something to be said about completely living in the moment and not thinking about recording, which mm-hmm. has been a hard thing to master, but I've been getting better at it.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I've always thought, I think that's, you know, I'm not a photographer, but it's one of those things when you go to like a show, it's, you know, nowadays it's just like everybody holding up their cameras or whatever. And like, that's cool, especially if that's like what you do and you want to get that good shot of that moment. But it's like, are you missing it if you're just behind something all the time, you know?
I feel like it's super distracting just for like other crowd goers. Yeah. Like, oh, cool, this person just popped their camera up in front of my face. I can't
see. It's like, what the fuck?
I feel like when I used to shoot shows, there wasn't a lot of people that went to them, which was cool. Or I was usually the only one standing up front even. So, I mean, I wasn't really in people's ways because they didn't even care enough to get up.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is something to be said about getting the shot and getting out, too. The same thing with weddings. You don't want to just sit there and, like, put the camera in front of the bride and groom nonstop and stand in, you know, complete way of everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always got to move.
Yeah.
You got to move a lot. I also used to have a broomstick that I put. I had a flash on top of a broomstick, and I could create really dynamic lighting in concert venues, and I would just hold it up, shoot real quick, and then I'd be out of the way.
Well, that's cool. I think it's like it's almost like a ninja thing that a good photographer can take, especially at concerts. It's like you can't even notice if there's a person taking these for like the band or whatever. And like you said, you're just like in and out and gone. It's like I think that's a pretty cool skill to have.
Yeah. Lot of times – or like they have a lot more rules than they used to in the –
Yeah, it's awful. Like first three songs, can't use flash photography.
That's when I stopped. Really? I stopped being a concert photographer when they started those rules.
And basically like any – like if they hire you, is that what you're saying?
I mean, it's just the venues. A lot of venues will like – they just have a photographer pit and then they'll let 15 kids in there or something. You know, like there's not – it used to just be one photographer or two a show and that would be it. But now since there's so many, they have to corral them.
I just recently photographed a show at the Crowfoot. It was like, I think it was the 10-year fanfare. Super cool idea where they had bands from covered from 10 years ago.
Oh, cool.
But I think there was like a point where there was like five photographers in the upstairs. And I'm just like, too many cooks, man. I'm getting out of
here.
Yeah. I don't need to be here at all.
That must be weird. You know? It's like click, click, click.
Like, I'm just like, I'm being unnecessary right now. I'll go someplace else.
Like one of them probably got it, you know?
Yeah.
I also reached my peak with music photography because I shot Say Anything and he spit in my face for the first three songs. And then after that, I don't need anything else.
Like that was like an accomplishment, like a bucket list thing.
My favorite band.
Wow, Kelly, brag about that some more.
You know, and Foxy Shazam.
Wow, what else have you done, Kelly?
Let me just keep listing off everything.
Honestly, that's really cool. Foxy Shazam. Foxy Shazam actually used one of Kelly's photos
as their poster. Which is sweet.
That's like a name of your photography or
Foxy Shazam?
Yeah.
That's a band.
Oh, it's a band. Okay, all right.
They were like they broke up, which sucks, but they were a really big underground band. They had like their song played during the Super Bowl and stuff, so they were pretty big.
Wow, that is big.
There's a couple of posters in kids' room with my picture on it of the lead singer. That's cool.
Like that you took. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really cool. Credited by you, you know. That's
actually
awesome.
They don't know it was me.
But, but you do, and that's what matters. So do you like ever have a hard time turning off like, you know, the photography in you, Chris? Like, is that something you think about or does it even cross your mind?
Depends on what I'm doing at that specific time, I guess. Because like when I'm at work, I'm usually just thinking about just getting through the day and trying to relax. But if I'm off, I'll like look at the sky and be like, oh crap, it's a beautiful sunset right now. I should have brought my camera. Like, I love like sunsets. I love sunrises.
That's good. That's good. See, that goes back with like the dilapidated buildings and all. I've seen some good photography for that, but like you can't beat nature, man. I mean, good nature is awesome. So
it's just hard to create like a depth. Like there's like a good sunset, but you got to have like there's got to be more to it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The thing about the buildings too is I like buildings because they're kind of like our ruins, you know? Like
yeah, they are. That's good.
There was a good NPR story a few days ago about how like, you know, what it's about a Detroit artist that like does like or pieces inside buildings and he would bring attention to them. Like he would use bricks from like that building and then build a pyramid or something. And he was talking about how like time creates ruins, and you know, you could be upset that they're in that building now, but you know, 100 years from now, we'd probably put you know, we'd charge people to go through there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's, yeah. I mean, you go, people go fly all the way to Europe to see old buildings, you know, it's like, that's going to be, you know, since our country is not that old compared to that, you know, it's probably going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And you can right now just go tour what it was like to be like in like 1950s Detroit through some of those buildings, because nothing's changed, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trashed, but.
I mean, there was one time when I found like these beautiful Faygo bottles from the early 60s, just in a crate, untouched. Really? Yeah.
Wow. Not, like,
maybe
not
it was, maybe it was the early 70s. I can't remember.
One Juggalo's treasure.
Yeah, right.
That is Juggalo gold. It's like, yeah, if a Juggalo was like a pirate finding a chest of that.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Treasure map to it.
Exactly.
What, how do you see photography in the future? Like, how do you guys see that? You guys feel like you're always going to be doing this?
Go first.
I was just going to say through a computer screen.
Yeah. That's an easy way to say it, right?
I mean, I don't know. I do think they created a camera that can take a blank image, and it takes every possible image of focus and speed and everything. So it's just one large file, and then you can go through and edit it and pick out what focus you wanted, what shutter speed you wanted to that image, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And eventually they'll have a computer program that will just let you click something and it'll be like, this is the best possible picture of you.
That's
and that
crazy.
At that point, we probably won't be hired anymore. But until then, I don't know. I think as long as you're creative, you'll find something. It might not just be photography, though. Who knows? There might be some new technology around the corner that, you know.
Yeah, because they have all those. I think that's really interesting that I've seen people have. These are just friends of mine that just like taking pictures, not actually photography, but like the 360 cam, like Panorama. It's a weird tongue twister.
Just
but.
Like Kelly's tattoo from Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, good callback.
That's actually one of our new – Chris and I, you know, we're trying to offer like potentially a 360 VR wedding experience through hiring us. So you could – you know, it's like a little ball that you hold and you walk around the wedding. I mean, I saw Nick had one.
Yep, Nick, yeah.
But, you know, it'd be cool to hire us and then you could watch your wedding through a VR experience too.
Okay,
right. Like that, I mean, like it'll evolve somehow.
But. I just think is that like hard to, for like a 360, let's just talk about that. It's just like, is that hard to see like the picture you want with that, since it's not just like,
well, it'd be more selling the experience.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't, that's the argument is that you're getting every picture pretty much because you could look behind, you could see the groom and the bride's reaction when they saw each other. You could like see it rewind.
Yeah.
Turn around. See it. You
can
like,
see the 3-year-old picking their nose in the third row.
You can see the mom crying.
Someone sleeping. Yeah.
I mean, it might take away a lot of privacy. Actually,
those are the best things, though, you know. That's funny. Well, we're going to wrap this up here, but I wanted to guys let you plug your stuff. So, Kelly, where can people find you know, in your work?
If you just Google Kelly Karneski, that's probably the best. I have a website coming up, and I also bought a domain name, az.international. So that'll have a website on it as well.
Sweet.
Make sure you visit his Flickr. It's got like 4 million views.
That's true.
Nice.
Yep.
How about you, Chris? Where can people find you at?
You can find me on Instagram, camera_Satan. Mm-hmm. thank you to Kelly on that one. And then I have a website, rt3photo.com.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, thank you guys for doing this. I appreciate it. And best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.